Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Aleph. We were up to the question of what the din would be of a Yoresh. Reb Nachman said that a Yoresh is simply an extension of the previous owner, and therefore it's the sense of his literal, like we say, kar'e, it's his foot. Now this, of course, even though usually we use those words to talk about bro, kara, davua, the son is an extension of the father, acts as his foot, so to speak, in continuing on his dinim. This is true about every yoresh, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a bein. And we're talking about a yoresh being an extension. But on the other hand, the Talmidim of Shmuel, they learned that a yoresh is not. So we were in the middle of trying to bring various rayas against Reb Nachman, and we explained, so far we've been able to get out of any kind of problems from Reb Nachman, and we understood that even though it says Yorish asers, doesn't mean he asers permanently, means that he asers until such time as he's mevatel, but there's no problem. He could be mevatel if he wishes to be mevatel. So today we're up to Ayin Amud Beis, one line up from the bottom. We're trying to bring yet another raya against Reb Nachman. Tashma. Here we're talking about an interesting new type of Yoresh, and that is a Yisrael who is Zoche in a ger that did not have any descendants and who dies is ultimately the Yoresh of the ger because he completely and totally takes over the position of the ger in the world, becoming the equivalent of his Yoresh. So we should be able to analyze the situation here and see what its implications would be for Reb Nachman. So it says over here that if a Yisrael in a ger live b'megura achat. Rashi actually learns that a megura means a goren, which is really weird because, I mean, unless we're talking about some early Christians over here, who wants to live in a goren? You know? But others learn that the word megura is simply a sort of sophisticated term for a living unit. Lagur is to live, and a megura is a living unit. In other words, we're not defining what kind of place this was. There were people that were living there, Yisrael and a ger together, whatever the case was, a motel, houses, chatzar, whatever. And the ger dies. So if the ger dies, and he dies Erev Shabbos, so it's still Miba Odiyom, which means that the person who ultimately is Zoche in that Rishos, would Aser, because unless he participates in an Erev, so now he is not going to be taking over the Erev of the person who made it, it's still Erev Shabbos, and that Erev became Botel. So here we have a very strange language, which doesn't make sense at all. Forget about Reb Nachman. It doesn't make any sense. Because what the Braita says over here is that even though another Yisrael was Zoche in it, it's still Usher, which is ridiculous. If another Yisrael hadn't been Zoche in it, why would it be Usher? There was only one guy that was living there. It doesn't make any sense at all. So we're going to have to redefine this bright, obviously, in such a way that it should make sense. Okay. Then it continues to make no sense by adding, if the Jew takes over Mishach HaShecha, and then that means at the beginning of Shabbos there was an Erev that the Ger had already made. So then even if the Yisrael had not been Zoche, that then would be that he's Eino Oser. Which doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? Even though the Yisrael, if the Yisrael hadn't been Oser, there's only one person living in the Chatzar, so what in the world would the problem be? The only possible problem would be if the Yisrael took over. You want to tell me even if he did take over? You want to tell me even though he didn't take over? This whole brisa is like completely mirror image of what it should have said. So the first thing the Gemara wants to know is, how are we supposed to make sense of this? Oh, gufa kasha. You start off by saying, mi ba'odiyom, Afal Pishik, even though he was Machzik, he's Usher. What do you mean, even though he was Machzik? And for sure, if he wasn't Machzik, Adarabba. If he wasn't Machzik, he couldn't have Ushered because there's nobody there. Rav Papa, no, it means even though he wasn't Machzik. Rav Papa, what do you mean it means? It says even though he was Machzik. What do you mean it means even though he wasn't Machzik? If it says even though he was Machzik, that's ridiculous. I mean, unless you're actually assuming that we got confused to such an extent that we inverted the bright, that's crazy. You're not suggesting that. So what are you trying to say? No. I'm trying to say like this. Look, The Braita is essentially leaving out the main point. Any idiot understands that, of course, the point over here is that even though he was machzik, right? Or in this case, it means even though he wasn't machzik. The meaning of the words afal pi shehichzik are saying like this, that even though the words you understand, shelo hichzik mibaod yom, and he was machzik only meshechashecha, therefore you would have thought, these are things that you're putting in yourself. It's like chitzurim mechasur. Now you understand yourself. The guy was coming in, and he was zoche in a way that was, you would have thought, would not be a problem, right? Because he could have been. The point over here is that even though he wasn't machzik, he was only machzik mishachashecha, but he could have been machzik. That's the point. So since he could have been machzik miba odyom, and kiva dahavi lelahachzik miba odyom, because of that, it is usur. Why? Because the status of the heter that was at the beginning of the Shabbos is not a real status, because it can change the second the guy is right there. All he needs to do is do something, lock a door, right? Do something that is the actual chazaka that he has. So the point that Rav Papa was making is that, treat it as if it's chishur mechazra. When it says the words afal pi shehirzik, the words are not, the afal pi shelo hirzik is a definition of the words that you have to put in to the Mishnah. And what the words afal pi shelo hirzik are saying is that afal pi that lo hoya lo lahirzik biba odyom would be in the second case. And in the first case would be afal pi is going back on the fact that you already understand he wasn't machzik. So the point of here is that hirzik means he had the ability to be machzik. That is the chiddush over here. Because we look at it, since he had the theoretical ability to go ahead and to be machzik, then therefore it turns out that the rishus is in a sort of limbo at this moment. And we can't really say, well, this is a rishus that fits the definition of huter l'miktsa Shabbos, like we had yesterday. It wasn't really Hutter L'Miktsa Shabbos. It was that temporarily nobody is here, and therefore there's no problem in the Chatzar. That's not the same thing as saying that it was Hutter L'Miktsa Shabbos. And that's what it's trying to tell me over here. It's trying to tell me that the fact that you had the ability is sufficient to make it not a situation of Hutter L'Miktsa Shabbos. That's what it means, says Rav Papa. Obviously, when I'm saying Ema, that it should have said Alpha Pishaloichzik, that is what you should say, not what the Braita is saying. You understand the Braita is talking about Lohichzik, and the words Alpha Pishaloichzik are translated is that Alpha P that we just said by your own insertion, Shaloichzik, that's nonetheless the same thing. Or in the first case, Alpha Pishaloichzik is talking about that he could have. That's the point throughout. And in the second case, exactly the same thing. So kivan dahavi lelachzik mibod yom, it's aser. The next case, mishecha shecha, it says, afa pishalohichzik yisrael acher eno oser. What are you talking about? Even though, here's our kasha, we'll do the same teretz, even though he wasn't machzik, what do you mean? And if somebody was machzik, then for sure? On the contrary, if somebody else was machzik, he would have asered it, because now we need a new Erev. Says Rav Papa, it's the same thing. It means afa pishalohichzik. I mean, it means afa pishesik. It says afa pishalohichzik. So I'm telling you, apply the same logic. You insert the words over here, which are obviously the words, that it means that even though he ended up being machzik, meshechat shecha, nonetheless, since he couldn't have been machzik before, in this case, he does not aser, because it was mutter for the beginning of Shabbos. And it wasn't hanging on anything. He had no ability to be machzik on before Shabbos because the ger died only mishecha shecha. That's the point. And therefore, you are meant to understand the braita as being completely normal. Anyway, fine. So over there, kiven de lo avi lelachzik bibeod yom eino oser. But anyway, don't we have a question over here? Why does it say that you were asered because of the fact that you could have been zocher before Shabbos? According to Reb Nachman, you can simply go ahead and be mevatel rishus. So what's the big deal? What do you mean he asers? This seems to be telling us not like Reb Nachman, right? Well, I'll answer it the same way I answered it before. The point over here is that he answers until he's mevatel. That's what it's saying. Not saying it's a hopeless situation. He's just saying, currently it's aser, right? So what are you going to do? Says Reb Nachman, what do you mean, what are you going to do? You get the rights to be mevatel the same way that the original owner had the rights to be mevatel, because it's an extension of the rights of the ger in the first place. Okay, this is a little bit iffy to say oser means, you know, I mean, it should have just said tzorech levatel, you know what I mean? So because of that, not everybody goes along with this answer. And Rabbi Yochanan says there's a deeper question over here. And now this is the first time that we have raised this issue. Remember that we asked all along, I mean, if really Bitul Rishus is giving people the rights to utilize my Rishus, isn't that a legal transaction that essentially should be usher on Shabbos? So, like, why is it that we allow you to do these transactions, that you're allowed to be socher the Rishus from the Goy, and you're allowed to be Mevatel Rishus? I mean, like, why is that? So we considered that question about being socher the Rishus. So it turns out that this is a big machlokas. It's a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about how Bitul Rishus really works. And because of that, Rabbi Yochanan says, there's never any problem in these braitot at all. Because the point over here is always, if you hold like Beit Shammai, then by definition, there's a transaction involved, and that transaction cannot take place on Shabbos. That's why it didn't say, okay, so now you need to be mevatel. Yeah, you need to be mevatel, but according to Beit Shammai, you cannot be mevatel. Where do we see this, machlokas? It's not. You're only allowed to be mevatel rishus according to Beit Shammai in the daytime. What is the machlokas of this? Why does Beit Hillel allow you to do a transaction on Shabbos? Isn't it usher in the general gezeira of transactions on Shabbos of business, which has to do with gezeiras because of ksiva and other inyanim that are nogea, masa v'matan? Because, says Zula, I'll tell you what it is. It's that Beit Hillel holds that this is the same case that we have where somebody goes in, takes off truma for another individual without having been appointed over here as a shliach for a particular type of truma. The guy said, look, you want to take off truma for me? Anybody could do that. Okay. He didn't say what he wants to give as truma. Now, there's better grains and there's lesser grains. So if the guy comes back and he says, oh my goodness, you gave that for truma, you should have taken from the better ones, right? So then if he says that, you should be going to the better ones, so then that means that he really wanted truma to be taken from the good grains. So because of that, that shows that initially he would be happy with this person taking off truma. Therefore, the same thing is true over here. If the guy ultimately is mevatel rishus, Beis Hillel says, okay, you know what that means. What that means is that essentially we now know that at the beginning of Shabbos, he was really mevatel rishus. But it doesn't mean that it's taking place now. Says Abaya to Ula, that's ridiculous. Because we had the case before, if the goy dies on Shabbos, right, then we said that the Jews that were living in the motel would be able to be mevatel the rishus one to another on Shabbos. You can't say that that works because now I understand that it goes back retroactively. They couldn't have done it retroactively because the goy was there and there was no way for them to make the Erev. So that doesn't work, my friend. I mean, it's all very nice to talk about in a very simple case where Stam, there's people living, one guy forgot, and then he comes on Shabbos, and Vatra says, all right, fine. But you know darn well, we've had some very complex cases over here where none of that is possible, and you are not explaining how Beit Hillel could have possibly allowed you to do a transaction that could not have been done before Shabbos, and it doesn't help to say, well, it's like Lachetzu Yofot. Oversimplistic, I'm afraid. I would tell you, says Abaya, that there's a much more fundamental issue that is going on over here. And that is, how does Bitul Rishus work? That's the real issue. I would say that Beit Shammai holds that Bitul Rishus is an actual kinyan of your Rishus. And it's a miknei Rishutahu. And therefore, you are giving over to the other person your Rishus. That is Masa V'Matan. And you're not allowed to do that on Shabbat. And because of that, Beit Shammai says there's no way that we could have created this secondary mechanism to take the place of an Eruv if it involves doing what would normally be an Issur D'Rabbanan. How can you do that? Beit Hillel says, no, giving Rishus, even though it's phrased that way, is essentially an act of leaving the Rishus. So it's much more similar to being mafkir something. You could be mafkir something and say, I don't want to be the Bailim anymore on Shabbos. That's not considered to be like a transaction because it's all held within. There's no trans in it. And because of that, according to Beit Hillel, it's istaluke Rishut B'Yamahu, you're just getting out. If you're getting, we noted this issue of getting out when we were talking about the guy being on Mars in terms of Michatzu Lachatzu, the moment that he was mistalik from this Rishus. Where did he go? He went to Mars. Because essentially, he's no longer Lachatzu. And his Taluk Rishut B'Shabbos Shapir Dami, that's not a problem. So it turns out that through the analysis of the issues of the Yoresh vis-a-vis Rav Nachman, we stumbled on a completely different level that we need to take into consideration, which is much more fundamental. So we have, yes, one issue about whether, what is Gavi doing there? Don't tell me he's taking Barnea's place. No, he's doing his lab work right there on the table and sintering off. Oh my gosh, look at this. Okay, so I took it as I've got two enemies here. Okay. And instead, we got to this fundamental question, what indeed is Bittul Rishus? And now we're up to our Capitan, who is ready to introduce the next exciting episode of the interrelationship that we never really considered very deeply, of the dinim of Eruv and Shituf. Go for it. Aha. Now, as you know, is always the derech in the Masechtas. We get to the more profoundly conceptual issues as we go along. As we start the Masechet out with like a lot of variations, we try to get a pattern and understanding what's going on, and we jump to conclusions, and we take for granted that everybody knows that there's some basic idea of what a Mavli looks like and an Erevin, and then we don't even know how to make the Erevin. We talk about it in Katzeres, we're talking about Shutvas, but we don't know anything, but we just keep going, which, of course, is the derech of life, right? We never know anything, and we sort of theorize as we go along. So now we're getting closer and closer to needing to deal with the underlying issues, which we just introduced with how indeed does the whole idea work with Bittul Rishus, which took for granted, I don't know, but they made a Bittul Rishus, you could do it on Shabbos for some reason. Okay, now the question is like this. Well, we're talking about this concept of Shituf. How about if we're just business partners? I mean, does that count? Like the whole idea over here is that we are supposed to be involved with each other. Suppose we're involved with each other because we both run a winery together, right? So do I have to like take wine and put it in a special place in the chutzner and so on and so forth? We say, what do you mean? What are you talking about? I mean, we got 100,000 barrels of wines down in the winery, which we're shutfim in. I mean, we need to put aside a barrel of wine for the shutfis in the mavli? Or are we okay with that? Which, of course, raises a different question. And that is, can you really make an Erev with wine? Or do you need bread? I mean, this was a shaila that we spoke about earlier, where Rashi introduced the perek of Bechol Ma'arvim, and he claimed that Bechol Ma'arvim was talking about the overall concept of Eruv, whether it would be Nogea Chotzer, would be Nogea the Mavoi, or would be Nogea Eruv Etechumim, Bechol Ma'arvim. Now, all of a sudden, we got to consider whether there might be higher standards of Shituf in the Eruv of a Chotzer, there are in a Shituf of a Mavli. And let me explain to you why we would consider that. Because remember, when you're joining up in the Mavli, you are joining up in terms of your Chotzer being allowed to carry in the Mavli. Not that your house is allowed to carry into the Chotzer, right? At least that's the way it's created. So now, in the event that I'm only talking about the interrelationship of a public space with another public space. I mean, public spaces are great for having a drink together, right? But they're not great for having a meal together. And in fact, the chotzer becomes the place of the depository for the sheet of mevaot, whereas the bayit becomes the depository for the sheet of the chotzer, which we call an eruv. Of course, we use the terms interchangeably very often, but in terms of the classic, very well-defined usage, we use those words separately. Now, if that's the case, it certainly makes more sense to say that for people to be living together or to create this mokum shvisa for themselves, in which they're all in the same home, it's not going to be something casual like a cup of coffee. It's going to be a meal, and a meal would require some bread-like kind of thing. So perhaps when it comes to the Eruv in the Chatzar, where we're going to deposit our joint meal in one of the homes, there's got to be bread in that meal. Masha Enkein, if we're talking about a sheet of an amofi, okay, I understand. There we're talking about public spaces in a broader public space. We got each chatzar being a public space, and now you're going to be allowed to carry from that chatzar into that amofi. So that perhaps has lower standards because we can maybe just have a drink of coffee together and that would be fine. It shows that we're all interrelated. So this leads to the question about whether a gentle, not Shabbos-oriented interrelationship that may be business-oriented might suffice for the sheet of mevo'ot. Now that, in turn, leads us to think about the overall idea, which is, once I am interrelated on one of these levels, the moment I bring up a question like, could a business relationship also serve as my shituf for a mavui, then that leads to a different question. Could the shituf in the mavui serve as the equivalent of the eruv in the chatzer? But let's imagine a case like this. We've got four chatzeres that are all opened up into a mavui, right? Not only that, they have doors between them that would allow direct access from one to the other. Now, we know that when you've got doors between you, or windows between you, that you are able to be ma'arev all of you together. So, if you were ma'arev all of you together, and there were no other chatzeros that were opening up into the mavui, so then would that mean that by definition you've already done your sheet of mavos, because you're already one chatzer? Well, how about vice versa? How about if the Erev was actually a Shituf? Do you wear a Ma'arev with one another, but you all put your Shituf into the Mavui? I mean, is that any... I understand. So what you really did was you went through the front door and you made your Erev through the front door instead of through the door between you. I mean, that's one way of looking at it, right? So if I anyway get together in the Mavui, so why would I need to also open the doors and make the Erev between the Chatzeres? If we're all part of the Shituf of the Mavui, then I should be able to carry in all of the Chatzeres because we're all participants in that Erev. So, I mean, again, the question is how much of a unique and specific interrelationship are we talking about? Legabe the Mavui and Legabe the Chatzeres, which touches, therefore, on these issues separately. Would a business interrelationship be the same thing? Would something that sufficed for creating an interrelationship between the chatzeres in a mavui, such as wine, would it suffice if you normally need bread in the Erev chatzeres? Would it nonetheless suffice to achieve the same thing? Because in its own context, it does suffice. So normally I would need to bring bread from my chotzer into your chotzer and so on in order for all of us to have one Erev. But in this case, since we have wine, which is more casual, which might even mean since we all have a business together in wine, which is even more casual, then by looking at the results in terms of the mavui, we might be able to say, look, in this particular case, these guys are interrelated, even though they didn't make the Erev chatzeres between them with bread. All of these questions are interrelated, you see? And because of that, for the first time, we're actually going to be getting to the differences between the requirements of making the Erev and a Chatzar, which indeed is dafka bread, as Tosfos argues with Rashi at the beginning, we call Ma'arev, and how could you say we're going to be Ma'arev with other things? And Rashi said over there we could use it in a Chatzar. That turns out to be a machlokas, which apparently we paskin, says Tosfos, that you must have bread for the Chatzar. And what are the standards for an Eruv in a Mavoi? And it leads to other questions at all, which are sort of sub-questions. But like, let me point out one of them. Remember we had the question earlier in the Masechet about whether if one guy keeps his Eruv in a separate kli and puts it in a separate kli in the house where everybody else has put the Eruv, whether that's a good Eruv or not, right? So we said over there, no, that's not a good Eruv because you're standing off. You know, notice you're making it very clear you don't want to be part of everybody else. But remember, we spoke over there where you had a big kli and everybody put their stuff in the big kli and they ran out of room. So then they take another kli and there's one guy who put it into the other kli because there was no room in the first one. So over there we said, well, over there, the intention certainly was not to be standoffish and not to be part of it. So that would be okay. So then if that's the case, when we are talking about these lower levels of shituf, maybe for purposes of business, you can understand that that is somewhere in between. We didn't collect it for purposes of an Eruv, but we didn't keep it separate either for purposes of being standoffish. So if we would be shutafim, I've got a barrel of wine in the winery, you've got a barrel of wine in the winery, and we all have our places, and we didn't put them together, but I mean, we all basically own everything. Or suppose we made an investment together. We made an investment together in 100 barrels of wine, but we didn't assign them. These 50 are yours, these 50 are yours. There's two ways of looking at this, because it's all very nice to say if you're standoffish, that then you're not part of an Eruv. But on the other hand, if you don't have a separate identity, then you can't be part of an Eruv either. Now, this is a brilliant insight into the general notion of relationships. Since an Eruv is a relationship between independent entities, if you never established your independence in the ownership, so did you say which barrels are yours, which barrels are mine? No, we just sort of put in money into the pot. So then where's the Eruv? Well, I mean, we put all our money in together. Putting in money together is not an Eruv. Putting in something that is your personal and independent thing into something that is joint, that's an Eruv. So then this already touches on more profound issues of relationships. You can see that one simple question starts now opening up a lot of the issues that we sort of took for granted, and we're therefore going to end up in the context of a simple, what appears to be a simple question. Is a business relationship sufficient to create a shittuf and a mavoi? Ends up opening up a Pandora's box of all types of fascinating issues. So the Mishnah begins like this. One of the guys, one of the balabatim, is a partner with neighbors in the same mavui. And they both have wine. So he's got a situation over here with one guy, he's a shittuf, what it appears to me. With one guy, he's a shittuf in wine in this winery. And another guy is a shittuf with wine in this winery, in this barrel. Einam tzrichim la'arev. So then normally we would put it into the chatzar. Over here, it happens to be that we have things that we own together. So then that is good enough for the shituf of the mevo'ot, because by the same business connection, the word over here means shituf, as we'll see. But as I said, we use the word loosely. But suppose you have two different partnerships, one of which is in wine and one of which is in oil. So then there's nothing that combines everybody. So tzrichim la'arev. In that case, now we're assuming that that means that in that case, it's not good because you've got different containers. We'll see whether that's really the way to learn. Rabbi Shimon says it doesn't matter. Whatever your interrelationship is, in business, that is sufficient. And having joined with A and having joined with B, basically, you're all interrelated. So now, that doesn't seem to make all that much sense if you're in completely different kind of kalim, a different kind of foods. So Rav, first of all, says in the Gemara, look, let me explain something. This whole discussion is not where you happen to be a shutef with one winery and another winery and everybody's got different kalim. I mean, you can't have different kalim. It's talking about where you actually, in this case, has to be in the same kli, even though a normal Eruv, as we said before, doesn't really have to be in the same kli. But that's because it was collected for the purposes of being an Eruv and we ran out of space, like we said before. But over here, there was no connection, there was no intimation of any issue that had to do with Shabbos at the time that we went into business together. So if we actually have one kli that has my wine and your wine and so on. So then that works. But if not, not. Says Rava, yeah. That makes a heck of a lot of sense from the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, if I partnered up with one guy in wine and with the other guy with oil, so then it's no good. What's no good? I mean, if you're going to tell me like Rav, I understand. That's because wine and wine is mixed. But obviously, in the Sefer, wine and oil is not mixed. So the Sefer is Mishnei Kelim, then the Mishnah makes a great deal of sense. It's not the question of the material. Why would it have to be the same material? It's the question of whether they're all in one container. But if you're going to tell me that the ratio of wine and wine was talking about two separate barrels of wine, what do you care if one of those barrels of wine is actually oil and the business is about oil? So Mali Yayin and Mali Shemen. Amalei Abaye, look, not necessarily, you can't be medayik like Rav. The most you can be medayik is that it has to be suitable to be mixed. And oil and wine doesn't mix. That's the problem. And therefore, it could be that yayin v'yayin at least is roi la'arik. And not that we need it to actually be in one barrel, but we need for it to not be standoffish. You must admit that that wine is very standoffish when it comes to the oil. I mean, you know, that surface tension is a big problem. That's tension, man. You don't want tension in the relationship. So because of that, that's not really roi la'arif. Maybe that's the point. And then, okay, so let's see how that would make sense with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, I don't care. Oil, wine, it's all the same to me. Ain't sirkim la'arif. So wait, so now you're saying, Rabbi Shimon's going like all the way? He's saying, even if you've got two separate containers, one container is oil, one container is wine, and there is no possible way for the two to be mixed, that nonetheless, that's good enough? Wow. I mean, how could we see that as being like one combined business? I mean, they're totally separate. They're totally separate physically, financially, and even theoretically in terms of the material that's being used. I mean, where is the achdus over here that Rabbi Shimon was talking about? Oh, my Rabbi, we've got a big mistake over here. You need to understand what we're referring to. We are not talking about a different relationship with each one of the neighbors. We're talking about where we've got two different mavuis. That's the point. So I am a chotzer, and I've got two doors. I've got a door to mavui one, I've got a door to mavui two. And these are two totally separate shittos. Well, I'm not trying to put them together. So the point over here is that what I'm trying to do, he wasn't talking about in one mavui. He's talking about two separate shittufim made with two separate mevo'ot. That was the point. So then, in order to avoid, now, theoretically, we could have been discussing over here an area that was chatzeros. And it had to be three chatzeros, one next to each other. And I want to make remember we had this case before in the Mishnah. Halamaze domeh, to somebody who was in the middle, chotzer A and C did not join, Chotzer A and B did join, Chotzer B and C did join. Remember, we had that whole discussion. We could have made that this Mishnah, but we don't want to because of one simple issue, and that is, would wine be good enough to make an Erev with? That turns out to be a machloka. So in order to avoid the Mishnah only going according to a Shita holds that you can use Yayin in an Erev Chatzeros as opposed to a Shita of Mavos, so we keep it clean. It works out according to everybody, because everybody agrees you certainly can use wine or oil alone for a sheet of mavoz. Okay, but essentially it's the same idea. If you substitute the word bread for wine, then it would be the same kind of idea over here. So now, in talking about this, it actually works out like that earlier Mishnah where Rabbi Shimon said, remember, Lama, Hadavar, Domeh, you know what this is like. This was talking about with the Tchums. Remember, one guy has a Tchum that overlaps B. B has a Tchum that also overlaps C. A can't carry into C's area, but A can carry into B and C can carry into B because they overlap in B, right? And that was Rabbi Shimon's Taina. But this is the same exact idea of a chotzer where you've got the three chatzerot all open to one another, each of which has an independent exit to the Rishon Sarabim, and A went ahead and made an Erev with B, and C went ahead and made an Erev with B, but A and B do not have an Erev. So remember that Rabbi Shimon said over there, yes, the middle chotzer is mutter to carry into them, they are mutter to carry into her, but the outside two cannot carry one into the other, and we do not have any kind of worry that maybe they're going to end up carrying all the way from A to C, since A could go into B. We don't make a gezeira like that. That was Rabbi Shimon's idea. And basically, that's what this is about over here. So even though I want, no way I could combine, of course Rabbi Shimon understands, there's no way to combine wine and oil. Okay, so fine, so you don't combine. You're not trying to go all the way from one mavi into the other mavi. All what you're trying to do over here is to create a middle situation. You're right smack bang in the middle. You want to be able to carry both on side A and on side C. And you are the area which is B. So Rabbi Shimon is saying, even though you cannot join A and C through two different things, one with wine and one with oil, you can join up B, one with wine, and B with C with oil, and there's no problem. It's just another application of the issue we had before, and they're not really arguing about the issue about whether wine and oil can be mixed. Says Abaya, no. I mean, it's a nice chop, but it's not the same at all. What are you talking about? Over there, it says the two outsides, A and C, are also from one to another. Over here, the Mishnah says you do not need an Erev. You see, you do not need an Erev. It means nobody needs an Erev. That means that you were able to join up all of the Rishuyos through these two incompatible substances in different kalim. I mean, how are you answering it that way? Rabbi Shimon clearly holds that even though oil and wine don't mix, they still are considered to be roi for a single Erev. Don't try to get out of it. Let's try to understand where you would get that from. It says, Ein Tzrichim La'arev. So I think, well, you know, when it says Ein Tzrichim La'arev, you know what that means? It means that the Shechinim on the outside, Mevo'ot, do not need to make a Shituf with the guy in the middle, but they would certainly need to make an Erev with each other. That's how I understood it. Sort of kvetchy. Okay, so Rav Yosef says, I agree. It's very kvetchy. Here's what I would say the pshat is. We're talking about one mavi, and indeed Rabbi Shimon says that, yes, you can actually get away with using oil and wine, even though you say they don't mix. But remember, we've had this issue before. If you have wine floating on top of oil, we had this back in Shabbos, like I've been the question of whether it's considered to be hanacha, remember? So if you have wine floating on top, oil floating on top of the wine, and you have the Tful Yom was the case over there, who was touches Truma, and the Tful Yom touches the oil, but he doesn't touch the wine. So then the Tanakama holds he only passed the oil because there's no connection, too much tension between them, no connection between the oil and the wine. And Mashenkin, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, I view liquids as one thing. It's not the mixture of the liquid that makes it one thing. It's the molecular responses of the liquid that makes it one thing. Does this liquid fit into every container and take its shape? Yes. Okay, fine. That's all we're interested in. Who cares what the particular details are, the tensions between various substances? They don't bother me. They're considered all to be mechuber as a single liquid, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, so by the same token, I would view it as being a single Erev. You guys are too focused on the contents as opposed to the material. Okay, so what we could say, therefore, is that the machlokas is exactly this machlokas. So the rabbonin over here would say, no, what do you mean? You can't use oil and wine. That's right, because they say, look, you couldn't be metame a tful yom, being metame truma of oil and wine. They're not connected. So how could they possibly be a mixture for an eruv? Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and he says, oh, one thing. Brilliant. Who would ever thought it was an ogea of that? So now, it turns out that not everybody seems to agree at all to what our Mishnah takes for granted, where they're only arguing about the details, because Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai Omer, actually, all cases require a shituf. It is not good enough to be related in a business relationship. Forget about the shemen and the yayin. That for sure, forget about that. Even yayin and yayin is not good. Are you saying that even if you're yayin be yayin in the same container? I mean, why is that no good? Even that's not good. Says Rabbi, let's understand the cases. We have different levels in the way that the Erev was created over here. Again, Erev referring to Shituf. We're finally going to get into the question of whether we're really talking about an Erev or we're talking about a Shituf. But anyway, the idea is like this. A guy is walking along. He's got an entire pitcher of wine. He pours it into a barrel. Another guy comes along. He pours it into the same barrel. Okay, and now we're going to be shutfer and we're going to sell this wine in our little stand outdoors. That for sure. Of course, Rabbi Elazar agrees. I mean, that's a classic Erev. The fact that you did it for business purposes to set up your 5 cents lemonade wine stand doesn't bother me. The point is that it for sure is an Erev, even though you weren't thinking about Shabbos. You each put identifiable, separate, independent wine into the same barrel. Okay. So where do we get into the problem? Well, we get into a problem, first of all. I mean, suppose they make an investment together. Let's pool our money and buy a barrel of wine. So Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai holds, look, ein breira. Now, as technically speaking, breira is not the point because we never end up defining which one is which. But what we're saying is that for all intents and purposes, there is no specific ownership in a partnership until such ownership is defined. And since there is no specific ownership, where are the independent individuals who merged their interests? They merged their money. Being merging your money is not merging your lives. And that's the difference. So if you had the wine first, fine, I understand, even though it was merged for purposes of business. But over here, you are only merged through money. Marriages for money are not very good mergers. And because of that, that's not considered to be a real shittuf. Rabbanan Savre, yesh breira. It's not true. It's as if we had separated it, and then we poured it back in. Because essentially, when you know that you're going to be splitting things, and so like each part has his own chelek, even though we don't know where it is and what it is. That's what I think. It machlokas could be therefore about an extension of the concept of how separate the ownership has to be. Now, there's another possibility, and that is that Rabbi Yosef points out that the Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai and the Rabbanan are arguing on something much more subtle. And that was that we missed what's really going on over here. They were arguing on whether something that was done for purposes of Shituf can take the place of the Erev that I normally think I need to make for the Chatzer. Right? So we've got, remember, there's two levels of Erev Chatzeras. There's the internal Erev Chatzeras, which actually consists of taking the various homes in the chatzer and allowing you to carry from a home into the chatzer. So that makes the private rishus of the homes similar to the single common rishus of the chatzer. But there's the other aspect of an Erev, and that aspect of an Erev is very similar to Shituf. What is that aspect? Allowing me to carry from my chatzer into your chatzer, where I can place my Erev into your chatzer, and then we will actually be mishutafim, which is like, isn't that essentially a sheet of mavoz? Because a sheet of mavoz takes various chatzeros. So in the event that every single chatzer that opens into this mavoy would have been joined through an Erev chatzeros, would there be any point in making a sheet of mavoz? Or, I mean, we're all one rishus, so then there's no separate chatzeras that are going out into the mavoi at all. So my question is, if I didn't make the Erev between the chatzeras, would the shituf made in the mavoi be the equivalent and allow me to actually carry from my chatzer into your chatzer? And that's what's really happening over here. So that what's going on is that Mar Savar, Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai holds, there's two separate issues over here. You cannot use a shituf to take the place of the Erev. And even if I made a shituf mavot, if I did not make a common Erev chatzeros between, let's say, the three chatzeros that had doors between them and doors into the mavoi, it's not going to help you very much. You still need an Eruv. Now, that may be because a Shituf can be made with wine, but an Eruv can only be made with bread. It may have nothing to do with the question of whether we can subsume the act of Eruv Chatzeros with Shituf Mavoz. That question still remains up in the air here. I'm not sure what Rebbe Elazar ben Tadoi is saying. I mean, the Mishnah was talking about wine. Would he have said the same thing with a Shituf in a bakery of bread? Would he also have said, no, you're going to need a separate Eruv Chatzeros? Or there would he be ready to go along with what we're saying? Okay, so the other man, the Omar, says Rabbi Yosef, is the Rabbanan, and they apparently hold that you can actually allow a Shituf, that so that if I live in one chatzer and go directly to the other chatzer through the door that is between us, even though I never made an Erev with that chatzer. Now, the question is, and this is very unclear and remains unclear ad hayom, what is the halacha about the meaning of a shituf if it will subsume the Eruv Chatzeros? What about the main function of the Eruv Chatzeros, which is allowing me to carry from the house into the chatzer? Are we only talking about the Erev being an Erev vis-a-vis carrying from one chatzer into the other, even though we didn't put our Erev chatzeros into the other guy's chatzer? Or are we only talking about that aspect, carrying from chatzer to chatzer, but not, I mean, how could an Erev in a mavoi allow you to actually carry from your house into the chatzer? Or do we say that the joint ownership of things and the getting together, even though it's in a different milieu, and it's in terms of carrying from a chatzer into a mavoi, creates that joint relationship in the same way that a business relationship, not meant for Shabbos, would have achieved the same thing in the shituf of the mavoi. Now you see how profoundly the issues are interrelated. What is the Eruv? What is the interaction? That's why we keep using the word Eruv over here, even if we're talking about Shituf, because it's not Shutafut that's important here. It's to what extent is Shutafut really an Irvuv? Where does it get us together? This remains a tremendous machlokas today, and is nogea mamish with the latest poskim. This is nogea the Beis Yosef, and the way the Bach argues with him, and so on. I mean, this is not something that is clear based on his Gemara, because from the Gemara, my gosh, I mean, it could mean either of these. Nobody explained. What do you mean? And that's what I think, and I'm going to prove it to you that this is the machlokas, says Rabbi Yosef. Because, see, you guys think that this was a very limited question about whether you can use material A and B and mix it together for a shituf in the mavoz. I'm saying that all of this is nogea, whether that type of shituf mavoz will help for a chatzer. That's what I'm saying, okay? And I'll prove it to you. Here's how I'm going to prove it to you. Rav Yehuda quotes Rav, and he says the halacha is like Rebbe Meir, which we're going to see what that is, but basically Rebbe Meir says you can't use shituf instead of an Eruv. Now, again, it's not clear whether that means you can't use shituf instead of an Eruv if you're using wine for the shituf because wine is not good enough for an Eruv, which means bread, or he's saying there's something innately different about the shutafut for carrying from your chotzer into a mavoi than carrying from one chotzer into another and koshken carrying from the houses into the chotzer. That we're going to see. Okay. Then comes along Rav Bruna Amar Rav and says that Rav said, the halacha is like Rebbe Elazar ben Tadoi. Now, isn't that a little bit weird? Rav paskening like Rebbe Elazar ben Tadoi against both of the Rabbanan and Rebbe Shimon in our Mishnah. I mean, how in the world would Rav pasken like a third opinion that isn't even mentioned in the Mishnah, that is a Das Yochid, and that's going against the Tanakama and is going against Rebbe Shimon? I mean, how do you explain that? I'll explain it, because if I'm right, and the issue over here revolves around the question of subsuming the Eruv Chatzeros with the Shituf Mavoz, then Rebbe Elazar ben Tadoi is essentially saying the same thing as Rebbe Meir. And he's saying you cannot subsume one and the other. Now, I know what you're going to ask. you're going to ask, if that's the case, why do we need to paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Tanoi? If you already paskin like Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir says you cannot use a shutafut to subsume an Erev, so then forget about Rabbi Elazar ben Tanoi. Why do I need to worry about Rabbi Elazar ben Tanoi? Rabbi Yosef, on the contrary, it shows that your explanation of the Mishnah is totally wrong. Because you're claiming that the Mishnah is talking about subsuming a chotzer, so then why would Rav have to paskin separately like Rabbi Elazar ben Tanoi? Huh? According to you, why did Rav need to paskin two separate hilchasas? It's all basically Rabbi Meir. Once I told you the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir says, now here's the cute point. This is really adorable. Rabbi Meir, not talking about our Mishnah, was talking about a shitof that was made with bread, not a shitof that was made with oil. And Rabbi Meir goes to an extreme. As Rabbi Meir says, even if you satisfy the requirements of the Erev Chatzeres by using bread in your actual shitof mavos, it still isn't going to work. Now, once Rabbi Meir said that, so you'd say, wow, then let's just paskin like Rabbi Meir and then forget about the confusion with Rabbi Elazar ben Tanoi, who was talking over here about our Mishnah, which was using wine. And then I'd have to ask you, okay, maybe that's just because wine he holds isn't good enough for the Erev, and that's why the Shitav doesn't include the Erev. But if he would have used bread, then it might have been good. So then that makes it even worse. So just paskin like Rabbi Meir. Aha. And here is the incredible answer of Rabbi Yosef as to why, on the contrary, it proves that he's right and that the other explanations are wrong. And why is that? Because, says Rabbi Yosef, remember that we have this halacha that we always go according to the das of the Mekel when it comes to Erevin, right? Now, we also have another issue, and that is even where we actually end up paskening a hilchasa, like a shita that's going l'chumra. For instance, Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is going l'chumra, and he's telling you, you can't subsume an Erev Chatzeres with a shita of mavaz, right? So you're saying, okay, so but we paskin. But you cannot choose one shita of one Tana who only arrives at his conclusion in a two-step argument, which are two separate chumras. Chumra number one, must I use bread for an Erev? Or could I actually use wine the same way I will use it for the Shitov? Chumra number two, if I do use bread for the Shitov, can I include the Erev in the Chatzer with the bread that I used in the Shitov? If I would just have paskin, says Rav to himself, like Rabbi Meir, I'd be up the creek, because then essentially there's two separate issues and I'm paskining like one Tana, and they're going to say to me, you can't paskin like Rabbi Meir in dealing in his case where you got two separate chumras. Therefore, Rav says, okay, I'll do this smart, okay? All right, gentlemen, the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Tanoi. Oh, what's that halacha? That's the halacha that you can't subsume an Erev Chatzeres in a sheet of mavos. Well, that was Rabbi Elazar ben Tanoi. He was talking about wine. So does that mean if you use bread, it would be okay? No, the halacha is also like Rabbi Meir, that you need to have bread. So that way, I'm paskening only, I need to pasken like both of them, because I wouldn't be able to get away with it if I just pasken like Rabbi Meir. So it's beautiful. So it turns out that now we know both of these halachas. And once we've already brought it up, what is that? So, law of dina katrei chumri be'erevin, another klal in your dinim of erevin, please write down. Law of dina katrei chumri, meaning katrei chumri, aliba chad mandi omar, when it comes to erevin. What is this machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan? The Tanya. Ma'arvin b'chatzerot b'pat, and imratzu la'arev b'yayin ein ma'arvin. You cannot get away with going ahead and making an erev just with wine? Absolutely not. But in a mavui, you can use wine. I mean, if you want to use bread, you certainly are welcome to use bread as well. Some explain that that means it's better to do with bread. But others learn that we're simply saying that we don't want you to think that you need to do bread. Okay, that's a side point. And If you want, you can be mishtatev. And in order to be ma'ariv in the chatzeros, you need to have an eruv for the chatzeros. And separately, you need to be mishtatev b'mavoi. What's the logic in that? Why would the chachamim have said that? If, in fact, lemaisa, you're all joined up anyway through the front door. So what do you need to make the interrelationship in the chatzer itself? That's because of the kids. We've seen this all through. We utilize the dinim of eruvin all to make certain that people will remember the concepts of Hotzah on Shabbos. And remember, Shabbos is all about spatial awareness. If we let you get away with utilizing a shituf, bikviut, in a mavoi, to take the place of an Erev between Chatzeras, children will grow up not knowing all of the concepts of Hotzah. And they will no longer be sensitive to the different bialos in separate chatzeras. So because of that, because they don't have anything to do with the collections for a mavoi. They only have to do with the collections in the chatzer. They go from door to door trick-or-treating for an Erev. And because of that, it's part of every kid loves to go trick-or-treating. And so it's part of what the kids would do on Erev Shabbos. They would knock on the doors and people give them a cookie and so on. It's like when you send the kids, used to be when you sent your kid down to the bakery to get the challah for Shabbos, the baker would always say, "Would you like a cookie?" I remember I used to do that for my grandmother in the Lower East Side. It was so much fun because the baker's always going to give you your choice of cookies and so on. And if you give him a really nice smile, he might give you two cookies. So it was always a challenge to make sure that your relationships were up to par. Okay, so therefore we want to involve the children in this process. And if we're going to allow you to make a shituf without making an eruv, what are kids going to grow up saying? Avoteinu lo irvu. I don't know, where'd you get this from? I mean, all of a sudden this new frumkeit, you're supposed to make eruvs. We never saw that. This is always what happens when people mistake a halakha for a new frumkeit because things have changed and you no longer have whatever answer you had there. This is what Rabbi Meir says. But the Chachamim say, look, you can do either O Ma'arvim, O Mishtatvim. You can use either your Erev in the Chatzeres, and if that covers all the Chatzeres, then you don't need to do the Shittuf in the Mavoi because for all intents and purposes, you're all Mishutafim. Or you can be Mishtatvim in the Mavoi, and then you won't need to do your Erev in the Chatzer. So, okay, this is the machlokes of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about whether you could subsume an Erev into a Shituf or vice versa, essentially. And we have a machlokes between Rabbi Nechumi and Rabba. One holds that the machlokes over here is only when I'm using different things. So we're talking about the pot. Rabbi Meir would even agree that you can use either a shutuf or a chatzif using bread, and the machlokas was b'yayin, and as we'll see, there's also the tzad to say, we'll get into this tomorrow, chadomer. On the contrary, everybody agrees if you try to use wine, you can't use a shutuf in the mavoi to achieve what needed bread. The machlokas was dafka with the bread. We'll talk about those details tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. But anyway, we finally have gotten down to like, wow, some of these really, really underlying concepts. It's a great pleasure to be able finally, Nichlas Yayin Yatzasayit, as we started on Daf Ayin, which was really Daf Ayin Aleph, is really Daf Ayin. So we got into this right at the good time.